السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. Welcome to Radio Islam International this Saturday morning, and seems like one of those early winter mornings. You know, if you're just getting into winter days, and you feel there's a slight chill in the air again, and you know it's just start getting cold suddenly. Actually, it kind of feels like that again. But throughout the week, I mean, we've been hearing that weekend is going to be a cold front coming right up to Monday, Tuesday, and things like that. But nonetheless, alhamdulillah, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a lovely, lovely, fresh morning, we can say. And let us welcome Adil with us on the line. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners on this beautiful Saturday morning. The reason why I say it's a beautiful Saturday morning is obviously because I'm at the fishing spot.
Mm.
And any morning spent at the fishing spot will be a beautiful morning.
100% agreed. Whether it's cold or hot or freezing, anything, as long as you're out in the water, it becomes a beautiful Saturday morning. I was just saying now that it feels like we're going back into winter suddenly, you know. But
yeah.
Also, I don't know if you've noticed this, Adil, but generally, you know, after it kind of heats up, then last week I think I was saying to somebody that generally in September, you know, we just get one last unexpected cold front, and then you have the summer thereafter.
Inshallah, let's hope that is the case, and let's hope, inshallah, that we also get some rain. We're currently here at Boskop Dam, near Carltonville, and between Carltonville and Potchefstroom. And it's actually surprising that the water level is very, very high here in this particular dam. Now, I've been speaking to quite a lot of people about different dams and different areas, you know, around the country, and it seems that some dams are full while other dams are really, really taking a knock. One particular is obviously the Vaal Dam. I'm sure you've seen a lot of social media pics. The entire yacht club area has been completely dried out. Now, I'm not too familiar with the details of that particular area, but nevertheless, it's always our cry. It's always our main focus, you know, on the program for the last few weeks is obviously dua for rain. And the need for rain and for the water levels to increase, inshallah.
Now, Ali, on the other hand, then like Boskop Dam, I was actually there in the week, for like about half an hour to 45 minutes. And previously, a couple of friends of mine went down and they already said to me that, you know, when we were talking about the water situation, so they said, no, but Marana, how can you say that? Because Boskop is like almost 100% is not better than that full. But then on the other end, they say that dam has spring water.
Okay.
So more than rain water. Okay, of course. I mean, not to say you still don't need the rain in that area, because I mean, if ultimately your dams are drying up or the water is drying up on the top, and then at the bottom or under the ground it starts drying up as well, because I mean that's kind of your reserves that is being used up. But
yeah,
Boskop Dam, they say it's mainly spring water, and that is why that dam is still full or over 100% at the moment, where you could launch your boat still from and still enjoy some good fishing.
It definitely looks like that. I mean, I've been to the dam before a few times, and you know, you can see that the water level is, like I said, it's quite high. So alhamdulillah, that's one good thing. A couple of the friends were here yesterday. Four fish managed to come out in a space of about 1 hour. But that obviously was during fishing time, you know, which is normally in the afternoon and very, very early part of the morning. Unfortunately for us this morning, even though we tried to get out of the house as early as possible, we just missed the window frame, or the window period rather, for the bears, you know, which is normally just before sunrise.
Yes.
You know, after a little bit after sunrise, but the guys are fishing at the moment. There is a chill in the air. You know, it is quite chilly. Yesterday afternoon, the guys that were here were saying that it was quite windy as well. And I just hope, inshallah, that we don't get the wind, because if there's one thing I don't like on a fishing trip, it's too much of wind, because that can really spoil your whole mood, basically.
But no, so Adli, you guys are all fishing from the shore there, am I correct?
Yeah, at the moment we're busy doing shore angling. We're going to be walking quite a long distance around, all the different fishing spots. The bears, obviously, maybe they know that we're here, because at the moment nothing is biting. The guys that were here before us, we're here with three cars, basically. The guys from Azadwal, and there's two brothers from the Amarantia area, and my nephew, obviously, from Lens. So we've got quite a good group of people here. Some guys are novices. They're trying their best fishing for the first time. Other guys are pros. We've got Firoz Dokrat here from, Solomon's Angling. And he's also going to be showing the guys a little bit about bass fishing, what's the ins and outs. So we'll make it a little bit of a workshop as well, if you want to call it that.
Okay, and indicate to our engineers that we're going to get hold of Brother Usman Mia, inshallah, shortly. Just give us a thumbs up once he's with us on the line. He could also perhaps share some tips a bit later in the program. Also, we're going to get hold of Muhammad Patel, the boating guy. But generally, I noticed something with Boshkop, and I mean, whoever has been going, why ask the question about shore boat? Because some guys that went on smaller boats, your rubber dinghies and things like that, and I don't know if you remember back in the day, we used to speak to the brother from Azad, but he used to go on his bathtub to Boshkop a lot. And when they were going with the boat throughout the day, they were picking up the odd one or two, but they all said one thing, and I noticed this myself when I was there in a week. Basically, late afternoon again, that you could probably catch that number of fish that just makes your whole day for you. So I know a lot of guys are actually only going like 3, 4 o'clock, and then they're fishing for that hour, half an hour, 45 minutes, that sort of thing, yes. Like, I think in a good about half an hour, and we got about 6 fish.
Yeah, you see, that. I think the good part about it also is that it's not very far from home.
Yeah.
It's not far from Lens, it's not far from Azadwal as well. So a lot of guys do that, they basically just come in, spend an hour in the afternoons, and, they do some fishing. I got into contact last night with the manager of the place, but unfortunately they were unable to sort of do an interview with us today, because there is a person that is in charge of media relations, which we will get a hold of at some later point. But the good part, inshallah, is hopefully our negotiations with them goes well, so we can do a couple of programs at the various fishing spots that form part of the Northwest Parks Board. And that's going to be quite interesting. So we just have to see, inshallah, if everything goes well with the media department, so that we can be invited. There's a fish on. MashaAllah, my son Ubaidullah just hooked into one bass here. And the excitement. That's what we came for. Fight it nicely, Ubaidullah. I can't shout you, I'm on air right now. Lovely, at least about 1.5 kilo, yeah? Nice.
Starting early.
Lovely fish, mashallah. He just lost it.
Oh.
It was basically on the tip of the hook. I'm looking at his lure now at the moment. It just basically must have just nicked its mouth. I think he should have given it one more shot. Next time I'll put the phone down and shout him, and then probably catch the fish better. that's extremely exciting for us right now, because since we're here, that's basically the first action that we've got. We did see the fish. The water is extremely clear. The clarity is good. So I think, inshallah, we will probably get into some fish here today. I'm surprised because of the time of the day. They say bass fishing, Luqman always says, if your line is not in the water, then you're not catching a fish. So that's basically what's happening here. Very, very exciting it was, that few minutes, from
2 minutes back when you were speaking, you were sounding a bit dull. You said we missed the early morning rush, and
And you're complaining about the weather part of it, and now, mashallah, another thing, I don't know if you noticed, Adil, but the moment somebody catches that first fish, is that confidence build up, especially now, I mean, we came out of Ramadan, there's the certain winter months, so we haven't been fishing at night. It's not just for this morning, I think it's been a long time since last we said that somebody caught the fish now, you know.
Yeah, definitely. The last time when I was doing an interview with Mohammed Patel while he was on the boat, he actually hooked into some fish also while we were doing the interview. But yeah, you're right. It changes the whole spirit. It makes you feel that, all right, your time here is not going to be wasted, inshallah.
Yeah, you feel confident.
You just need to get... Yeah, now everybody's got to be moving on to the soft plastic hooks, similar to the one that he's using. It's just fishing. That's how it works. It's everybody got to put on what's working and what's catching.
Don't you drop the line and pick up the other line, Nadis?
I'm worried because there was one of these videos also I saw on one of the social media sites where the guy had the phone in the one hand and the rod in the other hand, and instead of casting the rod, he threw the phone in the left. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Although sometimes I do feel like throwing my phone in.
And maybe you saw that picture also on this there's a slow thing around where they say the guy had a few good missed calls on his cell phone and he said, I'm sorry, I was on the other line.
Yeah.
Okay, we got Luqman, Brother Luqman with us on the line. It's been a while that we spoke to Brother Luqman as well. Let us welcome Luqman with us in the program. Luqman, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam, Malana, to you and Adil, it's Brother Muhammad.
Oh, Muhammad, how are you doing, Muhammad?
Alhamdulillah, like yourself.
Okay, I think our engineer probably mixed up those numbers there. How are you doing, my brother?
Alhamdulillah, like everyone. I'm just listening to the interesting topic going on in Boskop. In fact, we were there.
Always exciting.
Yeah, no, we were there on Sunday as well, but unfortunately for bigger boats, half the dam is out of bounds now. We can't basically cross half the dam to go into the river where the fish are at this current moment. Lots of guys that have fish on the bank, I think, also on the weekend have caught quite a few fish in the river section, you know.
Yes.
But they're not allowing any more high-powered boats and stuff to get into the river section, the watering hole, the water hole, and those areas down there. So, unfortunately,
any
have...
Any reason
fish.
For that,
I don't know, the environmental guys are saying, you know, with the bigger boats, you're spreading the weed across the dam and stuff like that. I don't know, it's just a whole lot of jargon. Somehow they're trying to get the bigger boats. I don't know for what reason, because there are rules and regulations when you, you're on the water with a bigger boat, you can't go more than 10 k's per hour. And that means obviously you're putting along the dam, which you know is in my distinct small dam, and I don't think it'll be actually good to be zooming across the dam at 100 k's per hour, and also getting into the river. There are a lot of carp fishermen, get very irritated with cars with boats that come across their lines and things like that. Look, I've been like plenty of times to Boskop. And you got to respect the bank anglers as well, especially the carp anglers. The minute you get into the section where the carp anglers are, you know, just back off and go out of it. Rather stay, you know, closer to the river section or around the river section somewhere. But getting right into the river section where it really narrows out, I don't think it's a good thing for, you know, the high-powered boaters to go through there. But anyway, it's not allowed totally. I mean, we had a run-in where the guy actually came, because the only two areas I know and I was aware of that were out of bounds was the dam wall section where the boys are, and that water affair section. You know, it's also a boiled off area. And unfortunately, those are some of the hottest spots, you know, on the dam, especially there where the water affair area is. But, that's out of bounds. And then the minute you get into the main dam, you'll see there's a couple of boys running across the middle of it. It's almost, I think, dissected the dam in half. You can't fish basically anywhere except offshore spots, and that's where we had to find fish. We just drove out to the middle of nowhere, again using the electronics. We located like the weed edge, and drove along the weed edge, and we found an area where there were rocks, you know, meeting up with the weed edge. And we just stood there most of the time, and we caught our fish there in the middle of nowhere.
Mohammed, the dam wall, is that still accessible, sort of near to that area?
According to their rules, you got to be a couple of meters away from the buoys.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fish, like, you know, before you would park, you know, close to the buoys, cast over, and even the corner spot, you can still fish the corner spot. Like, if you're facing the dam wall to the right-hand side to the corner, you can still fish that spot. But wherever there is a buoys or buoyed off area, you can't go near that or right next to that.
What sort of tips would you give us for bank angling, for today?
What sort of line are you using?
What do you mean, what sort of line? We've got quite a variety, because we've got some guys that are fishing with braid. We've got some guys that are fishing with your normal monofilaments.
Monofilaments.
Yeah.
Look, at this point in time, you'll find the fish are very spooky, especially during the day. You find a lot of people only catch fish from 4 or 5 o'clock, which obviously is their feeding time, you know, and then it becomes easy. But throughout the day, you'll swear there's no fish in the dam, and then it just comes alive, and you'll be catching 20, 30 fish for the afternoon. The thing is, you've got to have thin fluorocarbon line. When I say thin, I go with something like 10 maximum, 12-pound line. The color that Boskop likes is black, so you put on black anything. Something with a paddle tail, either a swim fluke with a bit of red glitter, or a swim Senko by Gary Yamamoto, or even a weightless Senko. You can use that as well.
I'm confirming what you said now, because we all are using the watermelons, and some guys are using lighter colors, and my lighty just picked up a fish now using a very dark color.
Yeah, they like the blacks. You see, you can, there's times when they want, like, really natural colors, like a watermelon, but that's as the spawn phases out, you go with something like a zoom watermelon craw, you know, and you just drag it along the bottom with a light weight. They can't leave that thing alone. I mean, you catch fish after fish, on that venue. Yeah. But for now, something that pushes a bit of water, meaning something with a paddle tail, or something like a swimming fluke with a tail. Black.
Some vibrations also.
Yeah, that's it. Either black with a bit of glitter in there, can be purple glitter, red glitter, or even plain black. Doesn't matter. When you make as long cast as possible. Something I've seen also this time of the year, you'll find, especially with the bigger females, they'll see your bait, and you just got to leave that thing dead for a long while. Talking like 40 seconds to a minute, you just leave it completely dead. And then the minute you twitch that thing again, and you know, they pick it up. Yeah. Also, another thing is they got to feel very carefully for the bite, because what's happening there now is you get a lot of females that are moving in, although they're not on the nest. They have this instinctive way of just picking up a bait and dropping it, you know, away from where they are.
Yes, yes.
So it'll feel a bit spongy, and then, you know, you'll feel nothing afterwards. So, like they always say, striking's for free. So, you know, don't always.
If you have a little bit of a touch on it, just try and give it one nudge.
Correct.
See what happens.
And you see, like, I don't know what lure your kid was using early on.
It's a fluke that he was using. A rubber fluke.
Okay. Just make sure, like, when you're fishing those flukes, that you have the hook threaded properly, meaning skin hook it from the outside. Don't bury that fluke's hook deep in, because when you strike, you'll find that the hook doesn't penetrate that easily, especially this time of the year. You gotta just basically thread the hook through and then just skin hook it. So when you do set the hook, you know, you get a very nice hook set and a quick hook set, instead of having to, have what happened now to your son where, you know, they barely get just hooked on the tip. I mean, if you look at a fish of like 1.5 kilos, the jaws are really big. And if you hook him on the top or bottom jaw, it's very hard, you know, to penetrate.
It's set.
Correct, 100%.
Mohammed, let's move a bit on to boating itself very quickly. Yesterday when we were chatting, I was asking you this question. I was saying that now, of course, coming out of the winter months, apart from this weekend, of course, getting back into winter scenes like that. But now getting out of the winter months, I think especially now this time of the year, where people are all now just ready to take their boats out and hook them out and get to the dam. Whether it means for fishing or just recreation purposes with the families and just to enjoy the waters or wild, what sort of advice would you give to people? I mean, your boat has already been sitting from before Ramadan, now already gone 3-4 months now. First time you're going to be pulling your boat out. What sort of things should people do first before you just get that boat out onto the water?
The day before you go fishing, spend a bit of time, you know, obviously get the boat cleaned up and whatever, make sure that your battery has power in there, you know, you can either use a multimeter or, if you've got a charger, just put it on charge again, charge up your batteries, although, some boaters don't have fish finders or that sort of apparatus on their boat. Rather just have your batteries charged and make sure they're always fully charged. Number one, very important. Number two, if you have those special apparatus that they use to connect the hose pipe to get the motor started in the yard, let it idle for a couple of minutes, you know, 5-10 minutes, clean out those carburetors, because you don't want to get into the dam and you find you've got plasticized fuel sitting in your carburetors and, you know, your boat can't start. And, you know, rather start it at home, and if you do pick up the problem, then you know, at least get that sorted out or, have it checked before you go out. You don't want to go out all the way and then you can't get your outboard motor started. It's going to be a waste of a trip going all the way to your destination. That would be the other one. Third, most important, make sure that all your safety equipment is in order. Like your fire extinguisher, make sure that, you know, it's always in the green zone. If you look at the gauge on the fire extinguisher, there's small gauge that shows, that indicates, okay, if your fire extinguisher has got a problem or it's fine. Normally, if the dial is either, if the dial is in the green zone, it means your fire extinguisher is fine. It's in the red zone, have it checked, refilled, or changed. Make sure that you've got all your life jackets in order, and all the necessary safety equipment, like your spare batteries. Make sure that your spare batteries for your torch and whatever other safety equipment you'll be using that is battery operated, make sure that all those batteries are fine. But other than that, I think that would be the safety checks on the boat, and on the trailer would be, again, as I've explained on the previous show, have your bearings checked. A very easy way to have your bearings checked, if you're going fishing or boating last minute, have the trailer jacked up behind the rear wheel. You can either attach the boat to the bucky to be safer as an ordinary person that doesn't know what he's doing or doesn't have the expertise. Hook the boat up to the bucky, jack it up from behind the rear wheels. All right, do one side first. And then shake the wheel side to side to make sure there's no play on the wheel. If there is play on the wheel, that's a telltale sign that you need a bearing change or your bearings need to be checked. If there's no play, I would say it's quite safe to go out. The only danger would be sometimes that the wheel would not have any play, but your grease is busy running dry. You can, as an ordinary person, look on the side of the wheel. You get your hub, what we call the hub where the wheel attaches to. We have a silver cap on most of the trailer hubs. It's like a silver cap that has a small seam around it. You can take a very big flat screwdriver and just tap around that seam. It'll pop the cap off. And you can have a look in there. Okay, is there grease is it still full enough to be able to, you know, handle the... The load, you can, just by looking at it, you'll know that there's enough grease because it basically protrudes out from the hub itself.
Well, in terms of a service moment, on your vehicle, you know, some vehicles, 10,000, 15,000, okay, it needs to go into the workshop and to get this motor service up. Is there a sort of a guide in terms of hours or yearly you say that the boat needs to be serviced?
Normally, depending on the motor. When you buy the motor from new, you have your 10-hour service where they do your gearbox oils, and depending also on the type of motor, your gearbox oil and your basic oil change if you're using a four-stroke motor. From there, depending also on the brand, you got to do a 50-hour service. Some motors you got to do only a 300-hour service, like my motor, for example. I've got to even do 225-horsepower motor. And that motor service interval is only 300 hours, you know, because of all the special plugs and things that we have to put in initially. I mean, compared to the normal boat, just as an example, a plug would be like $70. On my boat, the plug would be like 500 in a plug, you know. So, yeah, it differs in the motors, but I'm sure that the user out there has got some sort of logbook or something that he has since he bought the boat. And if they don't, like I say, the basic would be rather start the thing in the yard. You know, you'll find it'll puff out a whole lot of smoke and stuff, especially if you're using a two-stroke motor initially. You'll have this cloud of smoke, but rather have the thing started in the yard and let it idle to burn all that excess fuel out of the motor. And I think that would be the way to go to start off with before even having to have it serviced or checked.
Adil, any luck yourself, Adil? We're just still busy trying. Very interesting stuff I'm listening to in terms of your basic checks, you know, that one needs to do when going out boating. At the moment, things are still a bit slow. It's gone back down to snow. Everybody's trying the darker colors on the advice of our expert, Mr. Mohammed Patel. We'll keep you informed of what happens with those. But yeah, you're right. I think safety is the most important thing. We were just laughing a little bit now because there was a group of guys fishing here in literally a bathtub. There we go. Firoz is on, mashallah.
Suddenly, moment.
That is a thing, man. Look at that, man. Yes. Mashallah. Firoz docked that one for his team. It just became a competition. lovely. Firoz, what you put it there? What size?
Just under a kilo.
Just under a kilo, but a very, very healthy looking fish. I remember talking once to Lukman. And he said, when you look at the coloration on the fish, if it's got nice dark colors, very healthy fish, it took him by surprise, I think. He did a, you know, it was a really good short burst, short fight. But, you know, anytime you catch a fish, it's very, very exciting here in camp. Everybody's excited. Everybody's running around. Everybody's running to the same spot where he caught the fish from.
Early on, I really forgot to say mashallah and the fish got away, you see?
No, I said mashallah now, yeah, and we managed to get the fish out of the water. Shukra alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Well, try some small willow leaf spinnerbaits. Willow leaf are basically the spear type blades. Try something in white, double willow leaf, but a small willow leaf spinnerbait, and just fan cast all over the area. Give it a bit of a slow roll, not too fast. You'll get hooked up in the weeds, but just, you know, pop it out of the weed and then get on rolling it. Try and keep your rod. Normally, when you fish a spinnerbait, you should keep your rod down. But because you bank angling, keep your rod high up and just slow roll it.
So that it sort of comes up to the sort of middle area.
Basically, keeping the rod up would be to roll it extra slower.
Okay.
Now, if you're having it down, obviously your line's going to sink. And it's just going to go further down. So you're trying to keep it, you're just barely trying to keep this blade sticking along, you know. That also would be good for a reaction strike. You'll get a lot of males, you know, coming in and aggressive and, you know, they probably want to make the nest and the spawning beds or whatever for the females to move in. And whatever comes their way, whatever comes their way in terms of reaction, that will just trigger a very quick strike.
I think what's excellent, Molana, is the fact that we're getting this advice coming straight off the radio program, and we're putting into practice what Mohammed is telling us, and we are starting to see results, mashallah. So that's very, very exciting. I think anybody listening to the program, you know, take notes because I think Mohammed has a lot of experience in terms of bass fishing and we are actually experiencing a little bit about that. Definitely the dark colors are doing something. The slow retrieve, I know, is also getting some sort of reaction, you know, but we're definitely going to try the, you said it was, what sort of spinners, Mohammed?
The willow leaf spinner bait, it has like a spear type blade, not those big round. If you look at
okay.
it, a turtleback is shaped, not those blades. Those blades make a lot of vibration. And sometimes this time of the year, you know, would scare them off. Mm-hmm. Although they're feeding and they're aggressive, but when they look at something that's a big willow, a big Colorado blade or turtleback blade, I've found my personal experiences to be that you don't get as much strikes as you would on the willow leaf, which is like spear shaped, you know. Use a double willow leaf blade, something white preferably,
right.
Especially if the water is clear. If the water is very dirty, then you go with your black colors and, you know, those type of colors. But it's contradictory to what I'm saying in terms of plastics. Plastics, what happens with that is, from my experience, more the silhouette and the darker image of something moving really slower underwater, you know, would be much of a, how can I say,
aggressive reaction in the fish.
Aggressive reaction from the plastic, you know. Also, like I've mentioned earlier on, sometimes you'll throw a bait in and there's a bass right there and he's just not in a feeding mood, but he'll look at that bait and he'll follow it right to where it settles down. And,
right.
you know, the inspector thing, you look at it for, especially with the bigger ones, they look at it for quite a while, you know, 30, 40 seconds, sometimes even a minute, and they wouldn't do anything to it, you know. And the minute you impart any action on that bait,
it is
compared to you're going to get a strike.
Moment, this sort of weather, what does it do to your bass fishing? Especially now going into that season there. I mean, you had a few weeks, now we had about 3 or 4 weeks of some lovely weather, hot days. And then, of course, now you get the stall front coming up. What does it do to you? Does it really affect it? Is it just like a passing by thing?
Look, one needs to understand that cold weather, it takes time for the water to actually get colder. You need to understand that. If it gets cold like tonight for 5 or 6 hours, the water doesn't drop. The water temperature doesn't drop immediately. Like it would, you know, in air and in the open.
Yes.
But the fish have these sensory organs and these sensory things on their bodies where they sense bad weather coming through, and they almost go like into a no feed mode, you know. My bet is on that area where they're fishing now, there are a lot of fish, but they're just not. How can I say, active in feeding, that's on the feeding side of things. But when you look at like the spawn, it just puts a hold on those fish that were wanting to go in and spawn today. And like I've mentioned previously, the spawn is not about, you know, how can I say, the fish just parking for 1 month on the bed and stuff like that. No, the spawn, the males start getting very active. And they move into the shallows and they prepare the nest and so on, you know. But when it comes to the actual spawn, the female can move in for like 10, 15 minutes, spawn, and then move out again. And the males will stay there for like forever. This is why we find also in the spawn, you'll catch so many smaller fish first.
Yeah.
When I say smaller fish, you'll catch like maybe 20, 1 kilo fish, and all of a sudden you eat a 3 kilo fish, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just so happened that female was moving in, or she was on the nest, and you were irritating the hell out of her, and she put that bait. But basically, that's the male's job, to guard the nest and to prepare the nest, you know.
Cool.
So in terms of this weather, it would put a damper on things with the females moving in, but then the males, no, I don't think so. They'll even become more active you know, moving around, trying to get their nest and stuff organized. In terms of feeding, there's times of the day when they'll just stop feeding. They'll see your bait. If it's enticing enough, they'll bite it. And then you'll find towards in the early morning and towards the late afternoon, then they'll start feeding again, you know. It's just, like previously, like I said, you base it on the way human beings are. You're not you get some people that will eat the whole day, and others that will eat at eating times, you know. And we're exactly the same. You're having breakfast, and you're having lunch, and you're having your supper time, you know. And just with the bears, it's a different story. Bears supper time, they eat more than usual.
We don't have much time left for the program, and after inshallah we'll both go make some dua for Adile. Hopefully he has an excellent day.
Yeah.
Once again, and we'll catch up with you probably next weekend, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Adil, you still around, Adil?
At the moment, yeah, I'm just helping one of our novices get out of a snag here. He won't mention names because he's just smiling at me. I'm sure the wives are listening to the program, so we don't want to take out the izzat, like, if you call it.
No, you mean not yet, like. let's just tell all the listening just to get all of Luqman very quickly in the meantime. But I mean, you mean not yet because you're saying that you'll see what sort of treatment they give you throughout the day. And then
yeah.
At the end of the day, I was gonna
just tell him run and get the bride and sort it out.
Well, so if he makes your khidmat and he's feeding you the chops and the
steaks, yeah.
Nice, then next week he'll mention the name on a good list, you mean?
I'll mention it on a good list, yeah.
and if they're not helping out and they're catching the fish alone, then the name will go on the other side of the list.
Well, there must be something someone is good at, you know. And lucky, alhamdulillah, with the qurbani, the barkat of the qurbani last week, mashallah, so there's quite a bit of chops that needs to be bried. We'll get stuck into that a little later on. I think the important thing, obviously, is being out, smelling the fresh air, you know, listening to the water, watching the animals. This particular reserve is quite beautiful because there's quite a number of animals, although you don't see them now. But sometimes when you're driving, you know, you do catch a sight of quite a few animals up to the top area. So it's not just about fishing. It's about coming out and, you know, spending some good quality time with good friends, mashallah. We've got Molana Mohammed Chibu here as well. I was talking about the place that they've got in Poch, which I'm going to be advertising quite extensively soon once we get go ahead. Probably Screaming Reels team will be there to do a program from that area also, inshallah, in time to come. And like I said, Firoz Dokrat here, we've got the Kader brothers from the Greenside area. What's that area called?
Roosevelt Park.
Lots of people know them in the Roosevelt Park area because they're quite involved with the community there, mashallah. And then it's the Manglis, you know. My brother is here, Imran, sitting on the chair. He's just inspecting everybody. I've got my boys here. My nephew is here, Zaid, as well. So good group, mashallah, good team. But like I said, the best part about it is, yeah?
It's all-round experience there.
There's all-round experiences, yeah, from the novices right till the very, very experienced. And Firoz, mashallah, has managed to prove his experience now by taking out the first fish. Well, Ubaidullah caught the first fish, but he didn't manage to take it out. So our team doesn't get a point there, unfortunately. But we'll see how it goes. The day is still young, inshallah.
The day is young. Let's see. Unfortunately, our time is running out. Let's see. Do we have Brother Luqman Mia with us on the line? Brother Luqman Mia, unfortunately. I think we've got a few minutes left before we wrap up, and of course we haven't yet gone to an ad break in the program today, so let's just take it a bit longer, and then thereafter we'll just wrap up a few minutes early and allow Brother Sarin just to play his adverts out before the 9 o'clock news. Actually, that's it. Suddenly, you guys are going to be out for the day. I'm on in there giving some good advice. I know when we were there in a week, I did a similar story. It so happened that there were some guys that we met from Lens that were there during the course of the day. But they also said that nothing on spinner bait, nothing on top water. So that specific day that we were there, like I said, we were there for about half an hour to 45 minutes, basically from about 5 o'clock onwards till about Maghrib time. It was only a soft plastic and only your darker colors in which we actually managed to catch a few good fish.
And then also during that, like we said, the window period, basically from,
that's it.
I think from 4 o'clock up to just before sunset, yeah.
Well, but that time it picked up quite well. When we met the guys from Lens, they said, although they were there from about 12 o'clock onwards,
They were catching throughout the day. Yes, it was perhaps your one odd one coming out now and again. Like, I mean, your Lighty picked up one and then Rose picked up one. So you're going to probably continue trying and you're going to get that one. And then in that window period, you're just going to start, inshallah, enjoying it, really enjoying it.
Inshallah, we'll give a full report back next week. My nephew was at Opa Fetch in the week, and he actually caught a couple of nice fish there.
Well, did he catch the 2.5 kilo I heard about this week?
I'm not sure. No. I don't think it was him, because the one that he caught wasn't a 2.5 kilo. And I wouldn't, deny the fact that there might be some very, very big ones moving around, because remember, it hasn't been fished for a very long time. And the area has just been quiet there. Obviously, again, when it comes over fetch, please, we ask and we appeal to people that are going out there, make sure you go in a big group and that you have enough people around, fish during the times when it's not dangerous, during the daytime.
Yes.
And I think the best advice would probably be to just go with people. Not necessarily talking about just two people. Go in a bigger group so that, you do have enough people around so that it's at least easier to deterrent. We've had reports of people that have been overfetched that, there was one gentleman that I know in particular that had a boat. And while he was on the boat in the water, the guys were breaking into his car, and he could see exactly what they were doing. So,
you don't go out fishing and have tragedies and cost you, whether it's financially or perhaps even your life in areas like that. So, like you're saying,
yeah.
it's you got to go in a group, 10, 15 guys. I think you've got to be it's not just about the fishing. And like you said, today, you're looking at the nature reserve, standing there by the water, going to probably enjoy a nice fryer, but later on, looking at the animals going by. So it's not just the fishing. So you don't understand that Oberfest now, and now you went specifically for fishing, and now you're turning your back every couple of minutes, and now every time you see a guy walking in towards you or in the area, you're dropping your rods, and you're ready to jump into your vehicle and things like that. So it's important to take a precaution.
Oh, definitely. What about you? What's happening with you this weekend? Because this kind of a weekend, I know the Timors will never leave it.
Well, I'm still waiting for my father to get back, inshallah. And perhaps next weekend, inshallah, we could do something like what you're doing, Ali.
Inshallah. Then I'll sit in the studio and you can be out in the dam.
Inshallah, Ali. I think we can wrap up for today. Why don't you just make dua? You could be with me and we could enjoy a good fishing trip, inshallah.
No, inshallah, like I said, there's a lot of, prospects coming up. I just want to get involved with the Northwest Parks Board. They have given me some sort of indication that once we get involved with the media department, they are quite interested in doing interviews, especially for the radio.
Okay.
So that will be interesting because you've got Bora Kalalo, you've got Falkop, you've got the Barber Spun, you've got Bloomoff. So these are all dams that fall within nature reserves that are under their control. So what will be interesting is to do a complete program, over a long period of time where we can cover as much of those areas. But lots of places to go, lots of places to see, and just not enough time. Let's see how it goes, inshallah.
Inshallah. Adil, we're gonna leave you. Let you enjoy your fishing for today. Enjoy the day out with the boys. And the next week, can we perhaps get a good report from you, inshallah.
Inshallah. Jazakumullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mulana Sajati Maul, and to all our wonderful, wonderful listeners.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.